Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I had to step away from the cross for a moment just to collect my thoughts. So much has happened in just the last few hours. I don't know how long we've been here. It seems like maybe we've been here 2 hours or so. I don't know. I know they crucified Jesus around 9 o'clock in the morning. And it's just been a whirlwind. You know, the Romans, they do this. They crucify their criminals. They make a spectacle of criminals so that everyone would fall in line and adhere to Roman rule. And so, yeah, they crucified Jesus between two thieves, and I had to step away just for a moment. I can still see Jesus. He's hanging on the cross. He's dying. He's struggling to breathe. He's spoken already a few times. He even spoke to me, and I'm just processing everything. These Roman executions, we've seen them before. They're common, and yet there's something different about this crucifixion. Something about Jesus being crucified. This is no ordinary Roman execution. This seems like a divine moment. Something profound is happening here. And already Jesus, as he's been hanging on the cross, he's mustered enough within him to speak. His first words, as he saw all that they had done to him, the Romans, after they beat him and whipped him and put a crown of thorns on his head and mocked him and spit on him and did all these things to him, Jesus mustered enough strength and he cried to the Father. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even as Jesus is dying on the cross, he's forgiving and he's teaching us to forgive. And then, I don't know, maybe about a half hour later or so, or an hour later or so, the two thieves started arguing. But the one thief saw something different about Jesus, and he looked at Jesus and he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom." And Jesus was offering salvation even as he hung on the cross, and he turned to the thief and he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus, wherever you go, I want to go. Certainly I want to be with you in paradise. I will be with you at the cross. But I know we need the salvation that you have extended your entire ministry. And then Jesus hung on the cross some more, and he gasped for breath. He struggling to breathe. It's so painful to see him hanging on the cross like this. And then Jesus looked down at us who were there, and he saw his mother. His mother, Mary, what a wonderful woman. She was with us all through his ministry. And then he looked at me. Why me? I'm so unworthy. But he looked at his mother, and as he gasped for air, he said these words to her. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." And then Jesus looked at me and he said, "Behold thy mother." And I knew what Jesus was saying. Soon he was about to die, but he wanted me to look after his mother. And of course, Jesus, yes, I will, Jesus. Jesus, some of his last words on the cross, He's beseeching us to care for each other, to care for one another. Jesus loved people and he taught us to love people. Yes, Jesus, I will do my very best to care for Mary. You know I will. Even as you cared for us as we followed you, I'm thinking back to the last 3 years that we spent with Jesus, and Jesus taught us so much about relationships and how to care for each other. He did that more in 3 years than I ever learned about relationships in 30 years. I'll never forget the day Jesus called me and James to follow him. Oh, those were much simpler days back then. Oh, James and I, we were fishermen. We were good at it too. Oh, I know society didn't really think too highly of us, and yet we were important. We provided meals for people. It was our trade. It was our livelihood. Zebedee, our dad, taught us everything we knew and needed to know about catching fish. But Jesus was up at the Sea of Galilee where we were, and we had heard that he found Peter and Andrew. They were just a few yards away, and he called Peter and Andrew to follow him, and they did. And then Jesus saw me and James. We were in the boat. We were working on our nets. I remember the day so clearly. It was a sunny day, and Zebedee was teaching us some things. And then Jesus said to me and James, he said, "Follow me." Now, we had heard about Jesus. He had a reputation. He was this rabbi from Nazareth. We were intrigued with him. There was something different about him. There was something unique about him. The way he treated people, the way he cared about people, the way he loved people. And just like he told Peter and Andrew, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He cared about people. So I looked at James and James looked at me and we looked at our dad and we knew what we had to do. We left everything that we knew, we left behind. That was hard. It was hard. It was our livelihood, our family. But we left to follow Jesus because he gave us a higher purpose. Yes, we were catching fish and we were good at it, but he wanted us to be fishers of men. To find those who were lost and to care for those who were hurting. And Jesus did that. He showed us how to reach people with the good news of the love of God. And for 3 years, Jesus treated us like family. We were one family. Yes, we had issues, and sometimes we would argue with the other disciples and they would argue with us, but Jesus taught us how to love one another. He modeled for us how to love one another. And God always provided for us. You know, that day we left to follow Jesus, we left on faith. We didn't know where our livelihood was going to come from. We didn't know, you know, anything, but we knew we had to trust Jesus. And time and time again, God provided for us. I know one time we were talking to Jesus and he was talking to us about the cost of following him. And he said this statement that I'll never forget. He said, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And that's true. We followed Jesus by faith, and yet, you know what? God always provided for us. He provided the food we needed, the financing we needed, a place to stay. God always took care of us. I think back to our ancestors, the Israelites, as they wandered in the desert. God took care of their needs as well. Even their sandals. God took care of their sandals. He provided water from a rock when they were thirsty, and manna from heaven and quail. God took care of us. And when we followed Jesus, he always took care of us as we trusted him, as we left everything to follow him. You see, people were important to Jesus. And we saw that firsthand. He took care of us and God provided for us. And relationships were important to Jesus. I'll never forget. Maybe someday I'll write this down. The very first miracle of Jesus. It was a wedding in Cana. And we were all invited. And so we went. And you know how weddings go. Everyone was having a good time. And Jesus, you know, was there blessing everything. But something incredible happened. They ran out of wine. They ran out of wine. And you know what Jesus did? There were these six big jugs. And Jesus told the servants to fill each one with water. Now, they held, I don't know, 20, 30 gallons. And so the servants would fill the jugs with water. And then when they went to serve, it had turned to wine. And that's the moment we first believed. And that happened at a wedding. Relationships, family were important to Jesus. You know who else was important to Jesus? The people in society who others did not think were important. I mean, look at me, for example. I was just a fisherman. I wasn't anyone important, but Jesus thought I was important. But even beneath me, you know, Jesus even cared for lepers. You know, we would shove lepers aside and remove them from the rest of us. We didn't want what they had. But you know what Jesus would do? He would go and touch them and heal them. You know who else were important to Jesus? Tax collectors and sinners. Jesus even called Levi to be one of us, to be part of us. And he was a tax collector. I remember when Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." And then Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Sinners were important to Jesus. Actually, Jesus told a parable one day. He said, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country to go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the lost sheep.'" And then Jesus told us, he said, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." You see, people were important to Jesus. Relationships, drawing people who had wandered away from God back to the Father. That's what was important to Jesus. You know who else was important to Jesus? And this kind of surprised us because, as you know, in our culture, women weren't considered very highly important, barely on the same level as cattle. But women were important to Jesus. I remember one time, maybe I'll write this down as well, but one time Jesus talked to a woman, a Samaritan woman at the well. And he had this really profound conversation with her when he talked about how he was the living water. And he so touched this woman's heart in a way that nobody had, that she had come to believe that he was the Messiah. I'll never forget, there was another time, there was this woman caught in the act of adultery. Oh, she was a sinner. And the important people of the day, the important people, the Pharisees, they said, "Stone her, kill her." And you know what Jesus did? Because people were important to him. He said to her, "Go and sin no more." And he showed us that day something about grace and love and how people are so important to the Father. "Yes, Jesus, I will care for your mother, just as you taught us to care for everyone." One of the stories in the Torah that we read about is the story of long ago when two brothers, and the one turned on the brother, Cain killed his brother Abel. He was jealous, lured him out into the field, and killed him. And we read in the Torah that Yahweh, the Lord, went to Cain and said, "Where are you? What have you done? Where's your brother?" And Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the point of that story that we read in the Torah is, yes, we are each other's keeper. We must care for each other. The violence must end. The neglect must end. The hatred must end. We must care and look after each other. Oh, even on the cross, Jesus is reminding us, look after each other. Care for each other. Love each other. Jesus repeatedly taught us and showed us to love one another, care for one another, for we are all part of the family of God. Yes, Jesus, I'm honored. I'm humbled. And I will care for your mother. And I will care for all those whom I meet and encounter, because everyone, Jesus, as you taught us, everyone matters to the heart of God.
I think I heard him say, when he was struggling up the hill, I think I heard him say, take my mother home, then I'll die easy. Take my mother home. I'll die so easy. Take my mother home. I think I heard him say, when they was raffling off his clothes, I think I heard him say, take my mother. I'll die this death on Calvary. ain't gonna die no more. I think I heard him say when he was giving up the ghost, I think I heard him say, please take my mother. Please take my mother home.
In our culture, we unfortunately have become desensitized to a lot of things. Violence, sex scenes on the TV, anger, cursing. That's just the reality of the culture that we live in. But my prayer is that as followers of Jesus Christ, we will never, ever become desensitized to the message of the cross. We see crosses everywhere, but I pray that we never, ever lose sight of the significance of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you open your Bibles, the words of Jesus usually are in red. And those red words mean so much to me. But it's the words of Jesus on the cross that even mean so much more to me. And the message of the cross and the significance of what happened and what Jesus said on the cross. That's why I'm doing this first-person narrative of the Apostle John at the foot of the cross, because that was a profound moment that changed the course of history. And so as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion this morning, we confess our sins, we confess our need for Jesus, our Savior. We offer ourselves again in service to our Lord, in obedience to Him, to follow Him and His ways, to say no to the ways of the world and yes to Jesus. And we do this every week, every day, every moment. Lord, we are yours. We are your servants. We are your children. We seek to follow you. Lord, we on this Lord's Day have gathered to remember the sufferings and death of our Lord. So Lord, we confess our sins. We confess our need for a Savior. We pray for our world which is hurting right now, our world which is suffering. We remember the people of Ukraine and the needless suffering that they are experiencing there, and the millions of refugees who have fled their homeland to find safety. Our heart breaks that still in the year 2022 there is war and hardship, and when Jesus told us to care for each other, and our hearts break when we see the exact opposite happening. So in faith, we pray for an end to the suffering, not only in Ukraine, but around the world. We pray for your healing. We pray for your divine power. We pray for your love to encompass this globe. As we receive the elements, Lord, we do so out of great humility, as Jesus laid down his life on behalf of humanity. In your name we pray. Amen. So as we have done every Sunday in Lent, we'll take communion together. You don't need to be a member of our church to take communion. We just ask that you're trusting in the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So come and receive the elements. Oh Lord, may we never be desensitized to the message of the cross. May the message of the cross resonate loud and clear with its harshness, its beauty, its bloodiness, its salvation. So much happened at the atonement when Christ laid down his life for humanity. I pray, Lord, that as we receive the elements today, there will be a renewed sense of appreciation for what Christ has done for all of humanity, that we too can live and exemplify the way that Jesus lived and died as we lay down our lives for Christ and for others. The bread represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was battered and broken and bloodied and bruised on the cross. Take and eat, knowing that Christ died for you. The juice represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we never forget that the Word became flesh. God became man in Christ Jesus, and his blood was spilt for the redemption of humankind. Take and drink, knowing that Christ died for you. Would you stand with me and let's sing the doxology together? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Go in the grace and love and power of our Lord Jesus Christ, and let's care for one another as Jesus taught.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God, because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.